You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki, for years these names have instantly raised frightening memories of war, massive death, and terrible destruction. More recently, the name Chernobyl has been added. This name has rapidly become a household word, causing visions of a nuclear reactor raging out of control and leaving behind a trail of destruction, instant fatalities, and lingering illness that shall continue for decades to kill thousands of people. Nuclear death and obliteration. Has history ever seen such a mass destruction of life? Oh, yes, it has. Let us never forget that in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read that centuries ago, God looked at His creation. He was extremely upset. He was very angry. His righteous wrath was aroused. The sacred scriptures state that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Man in Noah's day was saying, "What is best for me? How can I live life to its fullest, and how can I live so that I fulfill all my wildest dreams and my drive for material possessions and my sexual lusts?" God could not tolerate this. And then the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky." And the Holy Scriptures record that this is precisely what God did. His justice and His righteousness raged with full fury against the utter wickedness of man. God sent a flood. The water was so deep that even the peaks of the highest mountains were covered. The results, they were devastating. Listen to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 7. "And all the flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle, beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life died." Yes, the Bible states, and I quote, "God blotted out every living thing, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark." The death-filled scenes of Nagasaki and Hiroshima and Chernobyl are indeed frightening, to say the least, but the destruction and the mass death in Noah's day from the flood was many, many times worse. The flood of Noah's day is a solemn reminder to all of us that God will not always look the other way when we thumb our noses at Him. God will not clap His hands when our lives are continually filled with self-centeredness and sin. For instance, do you think that God is happy? Do you think that God jumps up and down and claps His hands with joy when we refuse to worship Him every week? God is 100% serious when He says in the Ten Commandments, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." One day every week, God expects us to worship Him. The Ten Commandments are not ordinances of some church. They are expressions of God, directly from the heart of God. And when our lives go contrary to these commandments, when they go directly against God's will, then we can expect His consuming wrath. Our only hope, my friend, our only salvation from the curse of our sin is that same rescue which God provided Noah. By God's grace and mercy, Noah and his family were saved. Noah trusted in God's mercy. Noah gave up his own self-righteousness. Noah refused to conform to the ways of the world. And God in His grace saved Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's sons and their wives. God in His grace, through His Son Jesus Christ, is now offering you at this hour your salvation from your sins and mistakes. For while we were yet sinners, the Bible states, Christ died for all of us. Oh, as you evaluate your own life and as you look back at your mistakes and your failures, follow Noah's example. Trust completely in God's mercy. And by faith, throw yourself upon the sin-cleansing and life-giving merits of Jesus Christ. Trust in the Savior and cling to Him alone, and then you too shall be saved on the day of judgment. Listen to the beautiful words of promise to you recorded in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3. For Jesus Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that Jesus Christ might bring us back to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive again in the Spirit, in which also Jesus went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through water. The Bible continues by saying, Now, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from your flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God. I have read this promise for you directly from the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3. The destructive, life-destroying flood was finally over. Noah and his family and all the animals came out of the ark. For Noah and his family, this must have been a gut-wrenching, soul-searching experience, don't you think so? Indeed, with the exception of Noah and his family, all of humanity was wiped out as a result of their own blatant, rebellious wickedness and their refusal to repent and to turn by faith to God. For Noah and his family to be the only few, very few survivors, this must have been absolutely traumatic. And as soon as Noah and his family got out of the ark, they could have sat around and they could have second-guessed. Yes, they might have even cursed God for what he did. Noah and his family could have looked at the new land with some of the greedy and self-centered intentions, which many people today in our generation express openly. Imagine the comments. Now that the flood is over, I want to settle here by this river on the good land, one son might have said. Another family member could well have demanded, From now on, I want all the beautiful land in the valley as far as the eye can see. Oh no, these were not the immediate actions of Noah and his family on the day that they left the ark. They were not self-centered. They were not greedy. On the contrary, in Genesis chapter 8, we read, And so Noah went out of the ark, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And then the word of God states, Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is the central Bible teaching of our message today. The first thing that Noah did was he built an altar to the Lord. Yes, the very first thing he did was he gave thanks to God, and from then on directed all his thoughts to the Lord. Oh, this dramatic and true story of Noah and the flood provides for our weary hearts today a positive, uplifting message. It is indeed uplifting and encouraging. No matter what happens to us, let us always consider God first, in all things giving thanks. Oh, let us follow the example of Noah, my friend. Begin every new day and begin each new project. Begin each new phase of your life with the Lord at the center. With God at the foundation and center of your life, you can begin every new day with concrete confidence and with total certainty that God will see you through. Don't ever lose your grasp on the promise that Jesus gave at His ascension when He said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now let's take an honest look at our society today, shall we? Would you say that people today are putting God first in their lives? Look at the many marriages. It is no wonder that many of them self-destruct within 2 or 3 years. They are not built on the Word of God. All too many marriages today are based upon facial beauty, cosmetic cover-up, perfume, muscles, plastic credit cards instead of savings, lavish overpriced apartments instead of simple dwellings, and selfish, self-centered, grudging hearts instead of cooperation, forgiveness, selfless love, and compassion. This radio ministry continues to be broadcast from nearly 2,000 stations around the world. We have the glorious opportunity of ministering to countless thousands of teenagers and other young people. And so, since we pray that God may have directed many of you young people to listen today, we want to share with you a word of hope. Therefore, if you as a young person believe you may be getting married within the next 5 or 10 years, be sure, oh yes, be absolutely sure, to distinguish clearly between what is important in marriage and what is unimportant or secondary. This discretion at this point in your life may well prove to be a key to whether or not your future will be filled with happiness or filled with disappointment. Many young people, especially young ladies, have visions of a gorgeous wedding. The wedding in England in 1981 of Prince Charles and Lady Diana contained all the glitz and glitter of a modern-day marital extravaganza. $60,000 was spent for Diana's sapphire and diamond engagement ring. Then there was $100,000 spent for a pre-wedding reception, the wedding breakfast and the cake, $40,000. Decorations and flowers, $100,000. Over $500,000 on security, and then, of course, $300,000 for a two-week honeymoon. The extravaganza was covered by the world press. 750 miles of television cable were put down. 21 cameras were placed in the cathedral alone. It was beamed to 750 million viewers in 61 countries, and the commentary on this entire ceremony was provided in an incredible 34 different languages around the world. All of this, my friend, yes, all of this, as great as it all was, could provide absolutely no assurance whatsoever that the marriage itself would be a happy one. In fact, statistics have often demonstrated that marriages of the wealthy are frequently less stable than those of the poor. The late Princess Grace of Monaco, who also had a very plush wedding, stated, "The reason my marriage has lasted is because both my husband and I worked at it." Good marriages, she said, don't just come naturally. Oh yes, good marriages don't just happen. Both husband and wife must work diligently and pray daily that their marriage might weather and survive all the storms of life, succeed above even the devil's worst efforts, and in the end be filled with happiness and love that only God can provide. The basic foundation to any marriage and happy home is, of course, the living Word of God. If you are getting married soon, begin your marriage by taking a faith step, just like Noah did as soon as he and his family left the ark. Noah built an altar to thank God and to direct all his future thoughts heavenward. This is the first thing Noah and his family did as soon as they began their new life. In your marriage, then, my friend, do your best, yes, do your very best, to attend worship services every Sunday. Make sure there is a Bible in your home. Place it by your kitchen table and use it every morning or every evening for family devotions. Even if you have been married for several years, it is never too late to begin regular family devotions. Read a section of the Bible every day and live every day in God's holy word. The word of God has the power to strengthen you and your marriage and your home. The living Word of God cleanses us from sin and guilt. The Word provides new life. It assures us of God's total forgiveness, even when we make those foolish mistakes. Oh yes, with Christ at the center of our homes and our marriages, we can then live in an atmosphere where children will grow up to be happy and healthy, because these children have that security which comes from knowing that their entire family rests in the loving arms of the Savior, and they all have His constant love and forgiveness. Experts abound, don't they, claiming to know all the causes and offering all the solutions to the present-day tragedy of the broken home and the divorce court. But if you want the real truth, the bottom line, it may be time well spent on your part to talk to some lawyers and to some judges, those who have had to try to assist in this messy and emotion-filled matter. The Wall Street Journal on its front page has carried extensive coverage describing how many lawyers and judges today would be willing to do almost anything, yes, almost anything in their practice rather than to handle a divorce proceeding. Why? Because these participants are filled with grudges and charged with emotion, frequently offering very little opportunity for common sense, forgiveness, and resolution. And so now, my friend, for precisely this reason, long before your marriage deteriorates to the divorce court situation, your marriage needs to be changed. It needs to be softened by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, beginning with the day of the ceremony itself, this is absolutely necessary. In the cross, there is forgiveness. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, His innocent blood purchased forgiveness for the whole world. God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And likewise, when a marriage is begun in Jesus Christ, this marriage is shielded from the darts of the devil by the protection of daily forgiveness. Noah's example of starting over in life by first erecting an altar to God is the most needed step for marriages today. God must be first. His forgiveness in the sin-cleansing blood of His crucified and resurrected Son must permeate the dwelling of all marriages. Without this, we can well expect the devil to continue his dastardly deed of divorce destruction. After the flood, Noah and his family began a new life. Their first step, their crucial foundation step, was to build an altar to the Lord. Noah's example is the key for beginning a happy marriage. It is the key for beginning any new step in life, for starting college, for relocating in search of employment, and for bringing a new bouncing baby into the home. First, acknowledge God, give Him thanks in all things, and then direct all your thoughts and all your concerns towards Him. Beginning retirement has proved to be a critical step for many. Fear and insecurity has gripped the lives of thousands of senior citizens. Oh, my aging friends, don't let the last years of your lives be ruled by the tyranny of the devil. Dedicate your days, your months, and your years unto the Lord. If you have no place to hang a cross in your room, if regulations forbid you to keep a Bible on your dresser by your bed, then build an altar in your heart to God and pray to Him every day. Thank Him for His many years of undeserved blessings. Pour out your appreciation for His undeserved love and mercy. Yes, in prayer, my friend, express to God your heartfelt thankfulness that God has arranged a mansion in heaven for you and for all those who place their complete faith in the saving power of Jesus' innocent blood and righteousness. Oh yes, when Jesus died on the cross, then at that moment, God the Father accepted His death as a full payment for your sins. It is this knowledge that enables us to do as Noah did, to in all things and in all occasions, first to build an altar to the Lord and to give thanks unto Him. St. John, in his letter to the churches, explains it like this: God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let life begin anew for you, my friend, and leave all your sins and mistakes behind you. Don't look back. In Christ's sin-cleansing blood, God is offering you a new start, perfect pardon, and total forgiveness. Don't reject the grace of God, but by faith receive the love and the mercy of your Heavenly Father. Today is a new day for you. It is a new start and a new beginning. Begin this new life of joy as Noah did, by acknowledging God in all things and giving Him thanks. May God enable you to do this and to live with joy in your new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.